this our first time?
I didn't know we were streaming, podcasting. So like we're out of sync here.
Hey everybody, it's the Backseat Producers again.
Episode
500 480.
Oh,
I was making a joke.
No, we're close.
Ooh, life hack, finance for couples. Perfect.
That's exactly what I need.
I need no finances. Finance for singles.
Finance these nuts.
I'm only financing cougar life right now.
Not sure why you would do anything else.
It's the new gold.
Never been a better time.
Better time to get into cougars.
Now that Bitcoin's on the decline.
Bitcoin's down, cougars are in. Or let cougars get into you. By the way, actually, now that I'm...
I just want to take a moment to recognize this.
Just keep going with that.
Now that I'm cruising to 36, I'm outside of cougar range by a lot.
No, because you just have to have a 10-year age gap between you.
You just push it higher up.
Yeah, it just means your cougars are getting older.
Boo. I don't want my cougars to get older, because that reminds me I'm getting older.
You're getting into the snow leopard range.
Oh, no. The cats are getting bigger.
We have a story to tell.
Yeah, I have a lot of stories to tell, actually. We have multiple stories to tell.
Well, yeah, but...
So, let's start with the one that started with a series of weird messages that I see... About an hour or so after you guys leave here?
Yeah.
So,
you want to tell the story or you want me to tell the story?
We can both tell it. Okay, so we left here last Wednesday.
Yeah, as you do.
And David is going to drop me off at my apartment, which we took, what is that?
Graboy.
I was saying, is it 44?
Yeah,
44. 44 to Graboy. We're going south, and I don't know if anybody has ever been in that part of town late at night.
You don't stop there.
Don't do that. But it is, it's just a strange, weird place to be. Nobody is following any traffic laws. It is a free-for-all.
This is not this evening in particular.
Death Race 2019.
No, yeah, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. South Grand, Graboy, it's a lawless wasteland. Whenever the sun goes down, really.
Sure.
It never seems particularly lawed to me anytime, but I don't live there, so.
It's especially, yeah. So this night was no exception.
None.
And we were going south on Graboy, and we pull up to a light, and then actually this part I don't know very well.
So when I started driving, I learned from Sergio Pinilla. And the Sergio Pinilla driving school is
Pinilla
all about...
Prime.
Paranoia. Okay? The man instills nonstop paranoia in you when he teaches you how to drive. So, there are a number of habits I picked up from him. Like, when I'm backing up, I make sure all the windows are up so he doesn't lean out the car and then slam the side and then be like, oh shit, you hit something, go, go, go! Because that's the first thing he did to me when I started backing up. Okay?
That's a good one. I'm going to have to use that one.
I've
got a driver that I'm working with.
Yeah, but you got to make sure, like, because he's going to jump when he's got his foot on that. You got to make sure you got some clearance. Get the car back under control.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one is when I come to a stoplight and then the stoplight turns green, I always wait a second,
mm-hmm.
assuming someone's going to run the cross red.
Sure.
And in South City, that happens nearly constantly.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that's another good habit to have.
That happens most places. I've been in two pretty serious accidents. One was because I ran a green light, and the other was because I stopped at a red light.
You ran a green light? Is that what you said?
Well, this is your fault, Tony.
I can tell that story later.
At least you
that's
know.
That's the one I got sued for.
Oh. So in a similar vein,
mm-hmm.
the light is turning red. We're in like a stack of like two or three cars in front of us. Both lanes are full, which is actually really weird for this time of night. Okay, but it's, you know, it's like 12-ish.
It was 11:30.
It was 11:30. So we stop, or we are coming to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally, paranoid as I am, the third school of paranoia is I always look in my rearview mirror as soon as I stop at a light. because I just assume someone's going to come hit me from behind, and that, I at least just want
to
know.
That literally happened to me with my stopping at a red light.
I know.
Yep.
Yeah, so I just at least want to know. Okay. So,
I mean, first of all, how dare you stop at a red light?
Yeah.
That's an asshole move.
It is.
So
it is. Apparently the guy behind the guy in the lane to my right thought so because he whipped into my lane and ran into me.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what you do.
Sure.
So I'm looking in the rearview mirror and there's a car right diagonal back from us. Right. Okay. And they're slowing down. And I can see the SUV behind them not slowing down.
This sounds familiar.
This sounds really familiar. Yeah. So I'm watching this thing happen and like, you know, I'm expecting the slam on the brakes. No slam on the brakes is coming. And I'm like, oh shit. So the SUV slams into the back of this car that's slowed down for the light. And like, so hard that it pushes it into the center turn lane.
Sure. Okay?
Light turns green and like everyone else in their cars starts, you know, going, right? Including the fucking SUV. That SUV hits their asses really fucking hard. A moment happens and then they just fucking take off.
Oh, wow.
But not on our watch, Tony. We fucking chased their ass down for like 5 blocks. Oh, and they were trying to get rid of us.
Oh, they were.
Oh, yeah.
They were passing everybody in the turn lane. So did we. They did this psych out move where they got into the right turn lane, but instead just went around and like cut in front of the traffic. So did we.
Yeah.
Tesla intercept mode. Yeah.
Tesla intercept that car that has just been in an accident. So finally, our theory is they realized that they were not going to shake us.
Mm-hmm. Because we were in hot pursuit.
Hot pursuit.
Hot.
We started blaring Dukes of Hazzard. Unfortunately, we were Buzz Hog. So they pull over. Okay. So at this point, we don't, like, I didn't really have a plan at this point because I don't want to confront
them. Oh shit, what happens now when they come out with machine guns?
Yeah. So Caitlin gets the license plate. I take a picture, which does not include the license plate because it's blurry as fuck because it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So we circle back and we head back to the place where the car has been sitting since we left.
You're sitting in the middle turn lane.
So
their blinkers on.
At this point, I realize I don't know how to turn the hazards on at the Tesla. So I'm in the car for like 5 minutes trying to figure it out.
So I get out. We pull up behind them. We're in the middle of this like 5-lane, whatever you want to call it, intersection. It's one of those intersections on Graboid that's like Euclidean geometry.
Yeah.
Like, and I walk up to the car and I'm like, hey, roll down your window. And they're like, I'm like, just roll it down.
Hit and mugged?
You're right. This is the plan. And they roll down the window. This woman who's driving is tears just running down her face.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you guys okay? Yeah, we're fine. We're fine. I'm just scared. I was like, okay, well, I got their license. We just chased them down and I got their license plate number. So like, you probably are going to need that.
We're the heroes here?
Yeah. So we
big damn
we tell them to pull off into this parking lot of this scary as fuck car wash. It's so scary. There's no signage on it at all. It's got like this scary lighting, like graffiti everywhere.
Tumbleweeds?
Yeah. Like,
tumbleweaves?
Tumbleweaves.
And
oh, it's going to get better, Tony. Just you wait.
We get out of the car. We're like talking to them, like telling them what we saw. And they call the police, or they had called the police. I'm trying to think like.
Well, an hour passes now.
Oh, my God.
Where we're standing in this creepy car wash.
Took the police that long to get there?
It took them forever.
Jesus.
Forever.
So we're standing there and these people are cool. Okay. But my favorite part of this story is we're standing there and a car pulls up.
To the intersection.
Car pulls up to the car wash.
That's
another.
A lot of things that happen.
That's my other favorite part. I got a lot of favorite parts of the story. Car pulls up to the car wash. It's 12:30. So I say, should we tell them we called the police so they can speed things along?
because they were not washing their cars. My dumb ass. Oh, there really are people washing their cars at midnight. No, narrator, there were not.
That transaction went quickly. Thankful for that. Do you want to tell the other part?
So, we're also standing there. We're talking with this couple. They're super nice. And I'm like, we're getting along. And this car pulls up to the intersection and just starts, rolls down the window and goes, "At the car wash! At the car wash!" And it's like dancing and shit. And so then we start like dancing and they're like, the person in the car is like, those are the only lyrics I know. And then like,
the light doesn't change, so they're stuck there.
And they go, "Well, this is awkward."
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're getting to the end of the revels. I think the only other interesting thing that happened, other than us not getting the name of this couple so that we could do stuff with them, I don't know. I don't know why I said it like this.
Corey, if you're listening, I don't know why you said it like that.
Also, how the fuck did you find the podcast?
Actually.
Yeah, so we talked.
We were talking to them, and we're like, "Oh, what were you guys doing tonight?" And they're like, "Oh, we're at a Dave Matthews Band, and we got lost, like, coming back." And I was like, "Oh, where do you guys live?" And they said, "O'Fallon, Illinois." And I was like, "Oh, we just came from O'Fallon, Illinois. We have a friend who lives there." They're like, "Oh, what were you doing?" We're like, "Well, we do this podcast on Wednesday." And this dude is like, "Oh, yeah, what's your podcast?" And we're like, "We do like a casual movie review." And he's like, "Oh, I love movies." And then he's like going on about like how he loves going to the movies and he wants to know like our thoughts on Endgame and shit like that. And me and David are both sitting there just like
holding the bat.
He like
holding the bat.
Corey like,
but never swinging it.
He like lines, like he set a tee in front of us and like, yeah, put the ball on the tee and he like stepped back
and it was like one of those big grapefruits.
Yeah, too. It was a huge. Yeah. It was like presenting. Ha ha. We're just, yep. Oh, so this is happening. The cop finally shows up. Mm-hmm. And he takes all their information. Jill, their license plate was expired.
She didn't have her updated insurance.
But like, he doesn't make a big deal about it or anything. He's just taking down their information. And then like, I thought he's about to leave, but he pulls up beside us. He had gotten David's story and his information and the license plate for me. And he pulls up and he's like talking on the phone. And he's like, "Wait a minute." So he puts it on the phone. He's like, "The other car just called the accident in and said you hit them."
Wow.
So we were like,
Well, I watched it happen.
Yeah.
And the dude was like, "Yeah, the details are really suspect and this isn't my first rodeo." Yeah. So it actually was probably a really good thing that we stopped, because if, you know, otherwise it would have been just, well, no, it wouldn't have just been their word against theirs, because the obvious impact of the collision was directly all into the back of this poor couple's car. Like, there's no...
Julie was in an accident where she was at a stoplight. Everyone was stopped. The light turned green. The person in front of her started going, so she did. The person slammed on their brakes, and she rear-ended the other person. The woman jumped out of the car. "You hit me! You hit me!" And, like, grabbed her neck and, like, yeah... It was a whole thing. Within minutes, the woman's niece was like right there. Yeah, it was very suspect. Mm. But Julie was so freaked out that she was just like, and she was alone in the car, and like the police showed up, and she didn't have her ID with, like she didn't have her license, her insurance card with her. So the police were gonna, like, I don't know what the fuck they were gonna do. They
shoot
were,
her.
Yeah, probably. But she's like, she calls me freaking out on the phone, like bawling, because like the police are threatening to take our license and all this other shit. And
for insurance, get over it.
Yeah, it's like we had current insurance. Just have to show them the card. Yeah. And this was just like, I mean, this was probably 6 months to a year before they did before Illinois allowed showing it on your phone. A lot of states allow you to show your insurance
information
on your phone.
Allow that?
They had to, yeah. Yeah, they have to. They have to give police the authority that they can accept that as legal proof.
It could be like it's easy to manufacture. It's far easier to manufacture
than a little plastic car.
Also, you have to have proof of insurance for like everything. I don't know why they can't just sync up with the databases and just say, "Oh yeah, that person's insured."
Right.
Like,
I mean, especially since they've got the QR codes on your license now, they just scan it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, exactly.
And they're doing facial recognition everywhere. So what's the fucking point?
San Francisco's not allowing it for the police, though.
I mean, they do typically lead the privacy laws in the country.
Yeah.
So that's a story of how we lost Jill and Corey.
Yeah, that was a tragedy.
Yeah, I figured it had something to do with that when I was getting weird messages. Hey, Tony, do you know Jill and Corey?
That actually happened days later.
Right, that was.
Listen, we knew. We were sitting at the stoplight outside the car wash and looking at Jill and Corey in their car. We should go get their information.
There was no reason not to.
There was no reason not
to. We spent an hour with these people, and it never got awkward or like weird. We were like hitting it off and joking. So they were super funny.
Yeah.
So you haven't thought about the fact that since you were involved in the police report, you can call the police and get a copy of the police report.
I actually thought about that. I thought about that at the beginning of this conversation.
Do you think that's creepy though?
Oh, I can just. I'll make up a story. I thought about that at the beginning of the conversation. I was going to call tomorrow, and then I was going to surprise Kayla with it. Because then, like, on the way back to her place, she's like, you think we can find them? And I was like, oh, we can definitely find them.
We got so much information. We were just sitting there talking to these people for an hour. Like, we know their professions. We know approximately where they work. They live in O'Fallon. She was pregnant. But she is pregnant. She has a kid. They're not married, but they're... Jill, please take care of yourself, Jill.
She wasn't a car accident.
We know his last name, but not hers.
I'm assuming you guys did a lot of Facebook searching.
Come on, Tony.
We did.
Oh, I did a lot more than just that, Tony.
There's a lot you can do.
There was a lot I did. I even asked my friend Tony Mast if he knew.
Yeah, we thought, you know, she has a kid, maybe might be around Aaron's age. Maybe they know. And
unfortunately, there are six or seven grade schools, so that's a crapshoot.
Hate this place.
Worthless.
So that's an ongoing investigation we've got. Story number two, we went to a burlesque show on Saturday.
Ooh, ew.
Down on Cherokee. For those not in St. Louis, the Hispanic area of the city. So we grab dinner beforehand, and this dude sits down behind Kayla, and like, he's a bigger dude, and he's got a neck tattoo, like right like on the upper back of his neck.
Sure.
And he's bald.
Shaved, Tony. So you can see everything.
Wearing a Blues jersey. This has nothing to do with the story. I'm just giving details. Just
building a correlative case. So I'm looking at this tattoo and I'm like, man, the fuck does this tattoo look so familiar? And so finally, like, he stretches out in the way that like smooths out his skin.
Sure.
So there's no wrinkle and I can see it. Oh, it's a fucking swastika. oh, hey buddy. Oh, perfect.
Oh, wow.
And it's got the SS tattooed over it. So there's like,
There's
no mistaking.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are you doing down here? Like, this is...
Cherokee, at a Mexican restaurant owned by Mexicans. Like,
everywhere is Mexican.
Spanish. Like,
yeah.
they hardly speak English down there. Like,
yeah.
So, we leave. We go to the burlesque show. And 20 minutes later, sure as shit, the guy rolls into the burlesque show. What is going on?
Fucking wild.
That's crazy.
These people exist, Tony.
Yes, they do.
The show was amazing, though.
The show was pretty good.
Lots of aerial acrobatics, which I did.
Oh, neat.
The two girls doing the aerial acrobatics, that was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Were they doing the ribbon things?
Or? No, it was all hoops. Like
all Lyra.
Like raised. There was a fire eater.
Neat.
his show was wild. Set the stage on fire on accident.
Whoops.
Yeah. The band that they had playing, this chick was playing electric violin, and they kept adding effects to it to turn it into different instruments. She was pulling, like, quadruple duty.
That's, yeah.
It was pretty cool, though.
That's cool.
What else happened there? A bunch of people got almost naked.
On the show?
Yeah.
Oh, they were pretty much naked. One of them got almost completely naked on accident. Her pasty came off.
Whoops.
One of them came off, so she was like, fuck it.
They were the last act, so.
Yeah.
I think that was about it for interesting things that happened there. This guy asked Kayla to dance, and she ignored him.
I did not. He was literally asking everybody to dance, and I said, no, thank you, because I can't dance.
That's not how
I
remember it. Or else I
would have, because...
And she pulled out, like, the Ramona Flowers hammer and got into a fight with the guy. That's what I remember. So, I think that's all the non-movie or non-media stories I have. Because, you know, we have another 45 minutes of media stories we got to talk about.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about...
that's on my list.
Okay. I've been told. It is on the agenda. Please refer to the meeting notes.
Stay on the schedule.
Right. I was including it in the 45 minutes. Right. All right. I told you guys I'm tired tonight. It's going to be a late one. Just trying to keep us all moving in the right direction.
You're good. Do you want to
keep it rolling?
What media do you want to talk about first?
I was going to let you do whatever you're doing here for a while we talk about Game of Thrones. Because...
Okay, cool. Because I am shopping online.
Okay.
Well, I got a major throner. I got to work out. Tony,
I liked it.
Oh, you're the worst person I've ever met.
It shortcutted so much to get to that episode.
You're the AT&T of people.
And I liked the episode as it was presented.
It was bad.
What didn't you like about it?
I don't want to say everything, but the answer is everything. No expounding. It was rushed. It was terrible. You know what I did like about it? I liked the dragon burning the throne.
I did like that.
That was good.
Without being told to.
Mm-hmm. And then he just fucking left.
Yeah.
I did like that.
I like that too.
The rest of it was just Jon Snow is the fucking worst.
And always has been.
He's just always been the worst.
So the thing about the last episode was I think the last episode stayed true to everything that they presented up to that point.
Agreed.
And that's why I liked it. Not that I was satisfied with where everything ended up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... based on everything that was presented, I think it ended... everything that was presented up through episode 5 of season 8, I think everything they presented in episode 6 was the story they intended to tell.
Which I am fine with.
And I appreciated that.
And that's what I appreciate about them.
Is that what you appreciate about them?
Let me rephrase my complaints.
All right.
I don't feel like the story was the problem.
Okay.
The manner in which the story was told was abysmal. The pacing of the last 3 episodes has been spending a ton of time on shit that doesn't matter, and then immediately resolving the shit you've been waiting 8 seasons to resolve.
The whole last season was that way.
Yes.
I think they could have... plus, I think there were things that happened out of order that would have made better narrative sense, and I think would have been more satisfying. Mm-hmm. The conversation that John and Danny had right before he kills her.
Shanked her.
Yeah, that conversation, if that conversation would have happened right after she killed Viserys, or Varys, I think that would have had better narrative effect. They have that conversation, mm-hmm. and then they go into the battle,
and
then she burns the city. Like, I think that makes more sense, and it kind of gives you a little bit better for all the people who didn't see this coming, didn't see the Mad Queen coming. I think it gives you a little more.
Yeah.
I've been saying she's going to be the Mad Queen for 2 years now.
Really? That's funny, because she's been saying it for...
since the beginning. Yeah. 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 Everything she said has led to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, for me, that's consistent.
Yeah. See, Julie was real upset by that whole turn. She's like, no, Danny's the hero. I was like, and I've been telling her for 2 years, no, she is the villain of the story. The story is ostensibly a story about the Starks.
Yeah.
To the Stark story, she is the villain.
I mean, if they'd turned it, that would have been awesome. But nothing so far has been inconsistent.
No.
Apparently, I just really upset David by taking my phone out of his case.
It's naked! Kayla's phone is now doing a burlesque show over here.
But, like, so we spent, like, the previous episode, we spent 15 minutes on Varys, which, okay.
Was it that long? It was like five.
Fucking long time.
It was only five.
Because he was riding forever. Then they come get him. Then he walks across the beach in the dark. And then they have this.
It was 5 minutes.
It was 15. And I'll compromise to 12, but I'm not going any lower. It was, okay, but on a 70-minute episode, even 5 minutes is a 12th of the episode, mm-hmm. right? Like, we all know what's coming. Let's speed it up. Let's get going. I got dragons to burn people.
But also, that took way longer than it needed to.
Yeah, it took way longer than it needed
to. The dragon burning shit took way longer than it needed to. It was beautiful. It was beautiful in its effects.
I mean, internally inconsistent with the rest of the world, but fine.
How fucking long can a dragon breathe fire?
It breathed fire for a long time.
D&D rules were definitely not in effect. That was a whole lot more than three per day.
And then I thought it was going to be awesome in the final episode when he's burning the throne. Like, the inside of his mouth looks all burnt and charred and shit in one of the scenes. And I was like, oh, this is pretty awesome. Like, he is fucked up. But then in the next scene, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I was like, ah. Either somebody dropped the ball in the CGI or this wasn't the thing and I just made it up to begin with.
To be fair, there's a lot of things that seem to be things that were happening and then didn't end up being anything at all.
Yeah.
Like, who was Varys writing notes to?
I have no idea.
Because that never paid off.
It never paid off.
Like, that...
Yeah, he was just writing notes.
They should have just cut that. Like, there was two points where he was writing notes. He wrote notes
before. The lengthy-ass time, he's, like, taking his rings off carefully. Yeah, we get it. You know they're coming. We hear them coming. Like, what are you taking the rings off for? Like, who are you going to give them to? And fucking Bran rolls into that goddamn dining room. He can fucking see the past and the future. We don't have a master of secrets. Get the fuck out of here, Bran. What the fuck are you talking about? The fucking worst. Just the goddamn worst. So the story leaked online, right? At the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
The Vegas odds were Bran was the favorite.
Yeah, I heard that. I had heard that, but I only heard it after the fact.
So I told Anna that before we watched the episode.
Ooh.
Tyrion gets up and starts his speech, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Because, like, immediately you can tell it's fucking Bran. He's going to... So, like, I was like, ugh, this is the fucking worst. And she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, what?
Yeah, Julie was screaming at this the TV. Not Bran! He's the worst! He's awful!
Although, this has been my favorite thing about it. The fucking memes have been... on goddamn point.
Some of them have.
All of them have, Tony.
Not all of them.
Sansa just straight up telling everyone Bran's dick doesn't work. That's fucking choice.
That was good.
That's fucking choice.
He can't bear children.
Also, maybe stop calling me Bran the Broken.
I know.
This is not the kingly name I wanted.
I do like all the memes that are about why do you think I came so far. Those are really good.
I've liked every single meme I've seen about Brienne writing in that book.
I haven't seen any. I honestly haven't seen any.
So-and-so is a fugly slut.
Oh, that was Varys.
Was it?
Yeah, that was Varys. That was Varys.
No, that's Brienne.
No, that was Varys.
That's Brienne.
That was Varys from the week before.
No, that was Brienne writing in the book. I've seen the show, Tony. I can confirm.
No, that was.
I'll find it for you, Tony. All right. The ones where like he died thinking about Brienne, who was super hot.
That's good. I didn't see. See, I didn't see any of those.
Oh, those are good. Fucking love those.
The one I didn't like was the one about. That shows Bran, and this has been going on for a while. It's just a picture of Bran, and it says part of the group project shows at the last minute and gets an A.
I like that one too. That's good.
It's fine, but that's not what happened.
It's not.
So that's what, like, when you're being cute just to be cute, that it's not what happened. That bugs me. So what other media stuff, or did you have more to talk about?
I don't have anything more to talk about with Game of Thrones. Although, what I do love about it is that, like, normally when I finish a series, there's, like, this emptiness I feel. And because the season has been so terrible, I don't feel that, which I appreciate.
That's what I appreciate.
That's what I appreciate about Game of Thrones season 8. I don't miss it.
I am anxious to see if George R. R. Martin finishes the books.
I don't think he will. And if he does, I don't think it will be what we saw on TV.
I don't think it will be either.
It'll be different.
It, definitely.
Because he will...
He came up... He wrote something the day after.
Yeah.
And the ending of what he wrote was just choice. Because it was basically... it was something to the effect... fuck it. I can find it. Because I know who posted it earlier. So what other media thing did you want to talk about it while I'm looking for this?
On Friday, we finished You're the Worst.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So...
No notes!
There were words.
I have no comments.
Kayla said she had words.
Oh, I have a lot. I have a fucking lot.
So the show is spectacular. Mm-hmm. And they handle so many topics in such a fresh and interesting way. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated the way the show ended, but there were some things that really bugged me. First of all, their handling of Lindsay at the end of this entire show, I really disliked. Especially her just... getting back together with Paul and ending the show with them getting married again. I didn't like that.
Why?
Because that's not what I wanted for Lindsay as a character. I did want to see... I loved Lindsay in all her, like, immature awfulness. Mm-hmm. But I did want to see growth from her. But it seems like all this crazy shit just happens between them. He fucks her sister, gets her pregnant... like, in this crazy threesome, and, like...
That was fucking hilarious. It really was. Fucking
hilarious.
And, it was just, like, all this shit happens, and I just didn't feel like...
That was her ending.
Right, that's not... It didn't feel like Lindsay's ending. Like, when they started, she gets hired on as,
fashion whatever
the PR
publicist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. As a publicist, I was like, okay, this is her growing, like, she's gonna get this job, like, she could do this and this, and then she enters into a relationship with a woman. I was like, okay, yeah, like, this is character growth, like, she's doing something. And then they just cut it all down. She loses her job, she loses the relationship by being
by being Lindsay. I mean, the thing is I don't think she was meant to grow. Because she didn't.
Probably, but she did, though. Like, when she was working for the fashion people, like...
She was growing.
Yeah, like, she was, like, a professional person doing real things. And then even when, in the beginning of the PR thing, she was also kicking ass for it.
Yeah, and she stops her relationship with Edgar in this kind of, like, mutual, this has been great, you know, like, we have great sex, but this is holding me back from finding the type of relationship that I really want now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that all signaled to me growth. And then they just were like,
nope.
She cuts her hair off and marries Paul. Okay.
I didn't have a problem with it because it happened so many years later.
What? The marriage? The marriage.
Is it 5?
It's at least. Looking at that kid.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was a considerable time jump.
But we don't see that, like... But that's part of the problem, is there is a time jump. We don't participate in any of that interim.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's just remarrying Paul. It's like, yeah. Okay.
And, like, I get that they were doing that as the misdirect, right? For the last couple episodes to make you think that it was Gretchen and Jimmy, but...
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
they were never... I never thought it was going to be Gretchen and Jimmy based on what we were seeing. It was who is getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd never assumed it was Gretchen and Jimmy.
There were some points where I thought, is it a funeral?
Right.
I did. But I was very drunk.
Well. But I did like that they end the season on them at their wedding and them both realizing this isn't meant for us.
Yeah.
Because when they were like... When he proposes to her and they end the last season on, we're getting married. I'm like, what?
Yep.
Like, why would they do such a I don't know. I don't know the word for it, but it just doesn't fit their relationship at all. And I mean, that's what this entire season is about, how it doesn't fit their relationship at all, which is great.
I really love the story through the last two episodes. I loved Edgar's story. Through the last two episodes, where he, like, literally showed him, like, he gave him the best day. It's like
Edgar's development in the last few episodes is really, yeah, is really good in general. Yeah. Where he's like, I realized that I see you as an equal.
Yeah.
And like their whole dynamic is just shifting. I really like that.
Yeah. Well, that and he gave him his great day and he's like, and you should definitely not marry Gretchen. This is the worst thing you can do.
Nope.
I loved that.
And now he sticks by his guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sits out in that fucking car and waits.
I did love that the podcast he's listening to is what he's working on 5 years later. Mm. That was really good.
I kind of wish they had both gotten into his car, Gretchen and Jimmy.
At the end?
Yeah. Like, he just drives off by himself.
Yeah.
But because the whole time you're waiting for Jimmy to just split.
Mm-hmm.
So then if they'd gotten into his car together, I felt like that would have been a good...
I liked how he saw that they weren't going to get married, and he's like, my work here is done, and he left. And he was okay with losing that friendship that his friend didn't make this horrible mistake.
Edgar's a really good character.
Yeah. Yeah.
They continue to handle depression in a really fresh way.
Mm-hmm.
What
I liked also was that they didn't shy away from the frustration of being in a relationship with someone with depression. That it can be very frustrating. It can be hard to deal with. And I liked that they didn't just make Gretchen they didn't idolize the depression either.
There's a balance to it. It's like she's depressed and he isn't supporting her enough, or, you know, he's being like he's kind of brushing it off. But also it isn't a cakewalk to deal with this for legitimate reasons.
Right.
Like, yeah, they do a really good job of that in the previous seasons too, where he's like, hey, like, I need it to be about me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real.
Did you have anything that you wanted to add about it? You're over there looking contemplative.
Yeah. So every season they usually do something, like they usually pick something that they, like a theme they come back to. So like PTSD was season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or season 2, and then her depression was like the recurrent thing in one of those middle seasons too. And so I like that they did a lot with non-traditional relationships this season, because it's kind of
that's true. Point. Yeah,
yeah. Like, so, and then the ultimate resolution is like, yeah, we're together, but the marriage thing is just not.
Yeah,
like this, that's not us. And then everything that happens with Vernon and what's her face, and then what's his Paul?
Yeah,
What's his Paul?
Lindsay and the boss.
Lindsay and the boss.
Mm-hmm. So, that
sounds right.
Yeah.
Go with it.
So I like that was a recurrent theme. That, like, all these configurations of these, like, non-traditional relationships all had, like, the really real things that go along with them.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked it if they would have stuck with the Polly thing with the three of them.
Yeah.
And then kept Lindsay on as either with Yvette still unit.
Or just... part of the family?
Well, no, I'm saying like weird. Her relationship, because her whole thing in this last season especially is, I want to find love. Like, I want to find my lasting relationship. So if her realizing, hey, that's probably with a woman, like, I would have been super into that. And then they have their poly relationship, and then Gretchen and Jimmy are heteronormative, but they're not like into the fucking marriage thing. Like, that isn't a model that works for them.
Because he had to blow a dude to make it even.
The fucking Shiva.
Yep.
The fucking Shiva.
Yeah, Julie called that one. She's like, is that Shiva? It's like, maybe? So we looked it up. Yeah.
Janina Vanderkar?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I knew who it was. I knew who she was immediately. Immediately. Yeah, so I liked a lot of the stuff they did with that. Because, like, none of those relationships were clean, mm-hmm. which is what they usually explore really well.
Yeah. As interesting as it would have been to see Lindsay be with a woman, I also liked the fact that the woman called her out for, like, I don't think you are interested in me as a woman, but you're just interested in this relationship. Like, the way she called her out on it, I thought it was appropriate and accurate for what Lindsay was doing.
Yeah, I'm with Caleb. I would have liked to have seen a more complete conclusion for Lindsay, because marrying Paul doesn't feel right.
Not after all of that.
Or, like,
it doesn't feel right for either one of them.
Yeah.
I was more disappointed in Paul that he took her back after everything that he went through. Like, he changed considerably as a character.
Yeah.
And like, if she would have... I think I would have appreciated it more if she would have thought... Like, if there would have been a turn where she thought, oh, you're this changed man now. I want to go back to you. And he's like, no.
Yeah, actually, no. I'm this changed man.
Yeah, no, I don't need to look back towards this. And they could have done the exact same thing. And instead of the marriage could have been Lindsay to anyone
literally
else.
Literally anyone.
Literally anyone else. It's like...
They could have made it a character that we hadn't met in the season at all.
It could be someone we don't even meet in the episode.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, if you get to the last episode, they do the switch, you find out that Lindsay's getting married, it could have been to somebody we had never met, and yeah. I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, and I would have been fine even if they don't even show us who she married.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Is
yeah.
it a man? Is it a woman? Who knows? God knows with Lindsay, it could have been a robot.
Robot. A fucking toilet.
Say goodbye to the toilet for me. Fucking toilet. Oh,
it's still such a good show. It's yeah. so fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch that season again. I'm sober this time.
So before we started recording Umbrella Academy.
Oh, that was the other one.
I really dug it.
Oh.
It is an X-Men TV show that I really wish would have happened.
Yeah.
I think it's what Gifted has tried to do, mm-hmm. but hasn't quite gotten there yet. Mm-hmm. But this is so good.
So fucking good. The whole Vietnam plot was...
That was unexpected.
A fucking plus.
It was brilliant.
When he comes back, I'm like, you can just see he's fucking haunted. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. So fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's very little of it that I can complain about.
It's mostly Ellen Page.
It's mostly Ellen Page.
Oh God, she's the worst.
Because she goes from either dead-eyed to screaming.
Same.
It did something that... It broke a cardinal rule of mine that I fucking hate in shows, though.
What's that?
Rewound time.
Oh.
The time rewind episode was so fucking dumb. Because everything... Like, it gave you everything you wanted, and then just rolled everything back. And it's like, oh, fucking, come on.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? But fucking Mary J. Blige and What's-His-Face were so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
They were
Cha-Cha
so,
and, yeah, and Hazel.
Yeah, they were so fucking good.
I loved Hazel's story.
Yeah.
Like, full stop. That was just a really great story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to see a travel show with Hazel and the Donut Lady.
Yeah.
Just... traveling around the United States. Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. And Five was all fucked up. All manner of fucked up.
Oh my God.
And like every time he peeled back another layer of how fucked up it was, it got worse. It's so fucking good.
That mannequin put something new on her. She likes sequins. Oh. And as he's walking away, he just taps her on the shoulder and keeps walking.
That kid is really good.
He is.
You know, I did fucking hate that guy, though. The Ellen Page love interest guy. I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
Like, just as a person. I just fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, I really want to go and read the comics that it's based on, but I kind of don't want to get anything spoiled for me at this point. Because mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying the presentation of the show. So I kind of want to let the show run its course before I go read back and pick up the books.
It did get renewed.
I saw that. Yeah, the last thing it popped up as the episode ended was, it's official, coming back for a new season.
Oh, well, I watched it like immediately. It hadn't been renewed yet.
Yeah, I literally finished it today, so.
It's really good. Kayla will watch it, I'm sure.
Umbrella Academy?
Yep.
Everybody's been talking
about it. It is worth your time. Yeah, what's weird is I heard a couple of the reviews. I heard a few people talked about it. Like, the first week it was out, it was like, ah, so derivative. It's not worth it. Now it's a waste of your time. I wish I could remember who it was that I heard that from. So I can just discount their opinion on this kind of media again. And not on everything.
No.
But
it's super stories I like.
Yeah.
Like, the people are fucked up.
Right.
like, because they're normal people.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I like about the classic X-Men stories, is that they're people who are fucked up and have superpowers, but we're not trying to make it an event to that you can tell in a movie.
Yeah.
This story could not be told in a 2-hour movie. It just couldn't.
It just can't, yeah.
I mean, you could make a 2-hour movie and tell a story with these elements in it. Mm-hmm. It would not be worth watching.
And with the exception of 5, no one really ever uses their powers.
Until the end.
Until the end, but even then...
That last episode is pretty big budget.
It's pretty big budget. But for the majority of the
season... But it's mostly 5. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Even when Rumor uses her powers, it's just a little ripple on the screen. It's, yep. There's nothing...
She only does it like 3 or 4 times in the entire series.
I like that.
Yeah, I know.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. Because there is a... You can tell that there is a consequence to what she's done. Mm-hmm. And then you learn what the real consequence was. And it was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, because when she does it, it was like, ooh, I mean, I can totally see doing that.
Yeah.
But then I can totally see his reaction to it. And it's like, oh, buddy, that's not, that's, oh, it's that's good. Why that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Klaus, man.
That guy's really good.
That guy's really fucking good.
Has he been in anything else other than that and Misfits?
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff. Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage.
Really?
You don't have to see that movie.
No, I'm not going to.
I'll save you some time.
Nicolas Cage isn't always a selling point.
Nicolas Cage, Ron Perlman, and Robert Sheehan.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was something else he was in. Fuck. Oh, he was in Mute.
Was he in Mute?
He was a transvestite at the brothel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yep. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Kayla.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
What are we doing next week, Tony?
Logan's Run.
Logan's Run. Logan Nine Fingers. And this is a book fire? Series by Joe Abercrombie called... I don't remember what it's called. But it's his big fantasy series. I don't recommend anybody reads because he doesn't finish it. About a quarter of the way through that last book.
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, Siri, relax. By the last quarter of that book, I was like, are we going to wrap up any of these plot threads? No. The answer is no. Joe Abercrombie says he's finished.
Really?
The end of the book is the end.
Just the words, the end?
No, it's just that's the end of the story. Mm. And then he writes some other books like in the same universe. But like with nothing to do with these first books, it's really frustrating. Anyway, the audiobook narrator, Logan Nine Fingers. It's really distinctive narration.
Is that a play on Frodo of the Nine Fingers?
No, it's because he only has 9 fingers.
Well, the end of Lord of the Rings, so does Frodo.
He also sails into the West.
That's true.
Pulls an Arya.
What's west of Westeros?
The Resteros.
Westeros.
Fucking worst. Okay, so you settle a new continent.
Yeah.
And you don't just, like, sail on to see what's past it? Like, any of those port cities on the west side of the continent?
Like, isn't that where the Iron Islands are?
No, I thought they were up north.
But I think they're on the west. I think they're on the western coast.
They can't be on the west coast. They have to sail around the entire continent to get to the Iron Islands?
I don't know.
I just ordered this thing, but I had it sent to your house so people didn't steal it off my porch.
Last time.
It's not that.
Okay.
It's a Sailor Moon mouse. A pink Sailor Moon mouse that fits precisely the pink of mouse the pad. Office
oh.
That Jared and I are putting together.
Jared.
We decided it's pink and black sci-fi / nerd culture. And that's what we're going for.
Tony, you might be right.
And I'm here right now. Right now.
One thing I really did appreciate about this season of Game of Thrones is all the changes to the intro credits as they happen.
You know what? I would like to talk about that. Because they stopped doing it after episode 3.
No, they didn't.
They most certainly they fucking did.
They did not. Even the last one was different than they had been before.
They didn't flip the blue back to white. And that shit drove me up the fucking wall. Because they were following the undead down.
Yeah.
And then never flipped it back once the undead were done.
Because that's where winter had gotten to. That wasn't the undead. That was winter.
That was the undead. Marched up to Winterfell and then went no further.
Winter never did get farther south, which was weird because it started snowing in King's Landing.
That was ash.
When Jaime left King's Landing at the end of last season,
oh,
it snowed on him.
Ugh. All right. what I think you're right. I think the Iron Islands are over there, which doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, it doesn't. Because why would you have a seafaring people not go any farther west?
Yeah.
When literally everyone on Westeros hates them because you people are the fucking worst.
Yeah, and there's like no way for them to get. Oh no, I guess they can travel down this.
Can't
river.
They go through the fingers?
It doesn't look like it. These rivers don't look like they go all the way through. Hmm. Anyway,
cartography.
This is excellent audio.
Yeah.
Look at this map.
Look at this map I found.
All right, Logan's Run.
Next week.
But what are we talking about this week?
The Wandering Earth.
The Wandering Earth.
He says,
which sounds like an exhibit at like the Science Center. Just the title.
I thought it sounded like an N.K. Jemisin series.
Oh.
IMDb doesn't have it.
So, David, what'd you think of the movie?
Well, I liked the movie unenthusiastically.
Tony, what'd you think of the movie?
Ditto. It was fine. Like, I liked it, but there wasn't a lot to, like, jump up and down and say this was awesome sci-fi. There was a lot of good points to it, but at the same time, so I watched it dubbed, and maybe that might have been a problem.
I watched it subbed because I started watching it dubbed, and I got 5 seconds in, and I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I watched it dubbed because I didn't have time to watch it subbed. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to just sit there and read the movie.
Right.
Because I started watching it late, and I knew I'd fall asleep if I was just going to sit there and read a movie. Mm-hmm. The dub wasn't great.
Yeah.
The voices were not good. I've caught some bad anime dub, and that's what it kind of felt like. Like the voices were so, I don't know, that they just didn't fit well. Especially the daughter. Like, they turned her into this, like, shrieky...
Yeah.
Kayla, what did you think?
Yep. I enjoyed it as much as I probably can... Well, no, I shouldn't say as much as I can a sci-fi movie of this nature. Like, cataclysmic space adventure sort of thing.
You know, did you enjoy it as much as Sunshine?
I feel like I liked Sunshine more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I have a really hard time following sci-fi just because I'm, for whatever reason, it's hard for me to follow it. Like, I don't know if my attention span is just really short, but well,
it is.
Yes.
You millennials and your short attention spans.
Daryl.
Also millennial Tony. My attention span is not
but
short.
The joke was Daryl. That was what Daryl said. It was why I didn't enjoy it. What the fuck was that movie?
2001.
Yeah. I just can't.
Ooh, there's a lot not to enjoy about 2001. So, I don't think that's it.
There are a lot of really good things about this movie. I think visually it's beautiful. The effects are done really well. The concept is new to me. Like, I've never seen a sci-fi movie where they're like, it's always Earth is dying and we need to do something about it. And in this one, they're like,
fuck it.
Let's fucking move the Earth.
That was clever. Like, that was interesting. The logistics of it are questionable.
So here's
highly
the thing.
Questionable.
So here's the thing.
Oh, wait. So, like, suspending my disbelief, like, the concept is fresh, but I had a hard time following the plot points as they were happening in the movie. So there's a good 50 minutes in the middle. I don't know what's going on. Why is everybody upset? Why is the Earth constantly crumbling around them? Like, why is it always, like, high-tension drama? Like, I just cannot grab onto a thread to get me anywhere I'm going.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to the end part where the dad is like, I'm gonna fly this space station into Jupiter and light it up. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. I know this is happening.
Wait a minute. I know this movie. This is Armageddon. I know this one.
That was my least favorite part.
I know this. I'm back. This is Linux.
That was my least favorite part of the movie. So this movie is based on a novel by Si Shen Liu, who wrote The Three Body Problem, which is excellent if you are so inclined to read it.
Is that an Audible? Is that on Audible?
It is. And the audiobook's pretty good.
I'll have to
And it is very
edit my wish list.
Math and physics heavy. It is good.
Tell me more.
It is.
But slower.
Very good. They turn on the Large Hadron Collider and start getting unexpected results.
Nice.
Like, you know, they have done this experiment 100 times, but the 101st time, it's different.
Hmm.
It's just different now. Okay. It's very good. It goes in a very unexpected direction. Anyway, so this dude's already bought a ton of credibility with me.
Sure.
Just based on, so when they're like, fuck it, let's move the Earth, I was like, you know what, I'm in for this. I bet this guy did some research.
You know, there's a point when they say we're gonna strap a bunch of rockets to the planet and move it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're going to accept that premise and continue watching 30 seconds past that, you lose your right to start complaining about some things.
And
because there are some things that happen that I find even more questionable than that. But at that point, I've bought into the fact that
they're moving the Earth.
We're moving the Earth. All right.
Fucking turn the entire planet into a goddamn rocket and let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. If you kids don't settle down, I'm turning the Earth around.
Turn the fucking Earth around and drive it straight back into that fucking sun.
So, my
you
guess,
kids don't even know.
You kids don't even know about the expanding sun. And they tell you that shit in the first 5 minutes.
I know.
And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
They let me know exactly what the deal was.
Yeah. Here's the deal. We're driving the fucking Earth out of here.
And also, this is going to take a long fucking time. Yeah. This is not something that happens in the next 6 months.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, this is a 2,500-year plan. Yeah, okay. All
sure.
right. Sure.
We've turned the entire Earth into a generation ship. If you're going to turn anything into a generation ship, might as well be the entire planet.
Might as well be the planet. So I was fine with that. I gave the guy some leeway. The whole I'm going to crash into Jupiter situation, I feel like, okay, so there's only like a couple hundred people up on that ship, the advanced scout ship.
Yeah.
Presumably, the people they've got on that ship were selected for this thing because they believed in this project.
Uh-huh.
And so the sequence where they're like, okay, the Earth is fucked, so we're basically going to send you guys out into the stars with a capable humanity generating situation so that our species doesn't die out. All right. That sucks. But also, you don't light that on fire. There's a few,
that enraged me.
There's a few bigger things at stake here than your kid.
Yeah, you are absolutely right about that. Mm-hmm. If you had signed up for a mission like this, you would have to know that this is a possibility. And when you get that message, it's like, hey, the mission is changed because of this crazy, incredible thing that nobody, like, you can't fucking stop. Like, they're gonna crash into Jupiter, but your mission to start with was not just to save the Earth, it's to continue humanity. Now, we have a fucking ship full of seeds and embryos and you guys, and that is the last effort. Like, you're, like, yes, your son is on that planet, but...
But I feel we are on that planet, too, making the decision for you to go.
Yeah.
We will be dead in the next hour.
I feel like they could have justified it in the story if there was a way to jettison that toward the planet. Just shoot that part of the of the vessel.
With all the stuff.
With all the stuff to the
they
planet.
They do shoot the people hibernating out.
Great.
Which, thanks. I was like, did he really just make this decision for all of them? All those people sleeping? He's like, bruh!
Okay.
I'm just going to drive this.
But there's also the whole 2001 plot, the crazy AI plot that...
But the AI is not crazy!
Yeah.
AI is completely reasonable and is also not acting independently. It's acting under direct...
As programmed. Right. Yeah.
But they treat it as if it's...
Yeah, they even give it the howl.
Yeah.
Visuals.
I like that he jettisons those people, but away from Earth and close enough to Jupiter that habitation ring is definitely falling into Jupiter.
Yeah.
Like, if the Earth is having trouble escaping that gravity...
What the fuck is that ring gonna do?
It's definitely falling into
Does
Jupiter.
That ring have a propulsion system? Can it drive itself?
It's spinning.
It's just...
Spinning. That's a good trick.
So one of the things I didn't understand about the end, and maybe I just missed something, But as soon as they blew up Jupiter, all the jets started. All the jets started up.
I also
did I miss something?
So they had started most of them. Like the rescue emergency crews had started most of them.
Okay. But that's not what the visual showed.
They
showed them all just lighting up at once.
Yes. And I don't know why that happened, but I was willing to give it the benefit of the... They had just been restarted, and whatever made them stop to begin with went away.
Well, maybe it was the... It was probably the AI.
Why would the AI make them stop?
It was booting the Earth anyway, right? Didn't the AI give up on the
Earth? No, no. I mean, what they originally stopped because of the gravity from Jupiter. Yeah,
and that was not intended. The AI did not intend for that to happen, but it was kind of like...
the gravity from Jupiter turn them off?
I don't know how the gravity from Jupiter fluctuated so much that it disrupted everything.
Right.
I don't know why the gravity from Jupiter isn't more or less constant.
Yeah, they didn't really explain that. Like, they could have said something about, like, that storm.
Yeah.
Like, something to do with electricity or magnetic, like...
But the storms will, like, manipulate gravity that way.
I mean, but doesn't electricity...
Could have manipulated magnetic fields.
Yeah, I don't know. They could have worked that, but they don't really give an explanation.
I really could have, like, it's just on a half line of, we miscalculated...
Right.
It's one problem of those solved. Yeah, it's one of those problems that I've told Julie that I have a real problem with movies when they try to explain something and do it really poorly.
Yeah.
Where other things are like, yeah, that's some science shit that the eggheads back home figured out, and I'm just a grunt, so I don't know how this shit works, but here, let me show you how to shoot it. You know, it's right. Like,
fine.
Perfect. I don't need to know how the gun works.
Yeah.
The
pointy
works.
End goes in the other guy.
Right. When you start trying to explain stuff to a point, you either really need to explain it and it needs to make sense, or don't.
Yeah.
Just don't try to explain it.
Yeah. I also don't know why they, when they know they have an hour left, why they tell people they have 7 days. Like, I don't, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
why?
I really like the visual of the atmosphere being sucked away from Earth.
Yeah, that was
hot.
There's
really
a lot of
cool.
Really good visuals happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are a lot of really good visuals, and then there's some visuals that they're a little clunky. Like, they're like mid-90s CGI. Like that whole sequence in the rover thing at the beginning where they're bouncing off of shit.
Yeah.
It's like that wasn't good.
Yeah.
That wasn't great. But like all the space stuff.
All the space stuff
really
was
really good.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Like I liked it was like the atmosphere of Earth was streaming behind it as it's flying through space. Like that's really
it's
cool.
Hot. Yeah. And like even the design and the feel of the thrusters feels really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking cool.
With a little more thought, a little more time to explore the Earth these years later.
Uh-huh.
I think it would have been interesting to see some kind of society built up outside just close enough to the thrusters,
mm-hmm.
where it's like they know they can live within this 2 mile band where it's warm enough. You go a mile that way and you're gonna cook. You go a mile that way and you're gonna freeze solid.
Why would that be there?
Cook from the thrusters?
The thrusters, just to keep an area warm outside so people could actually live outside.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just as an idea. I think if you had more time to explore the world, you could see
they
something like that.
They spend a lot
of
time out on the surface in those, like...
Suits?
In the suits, but not just that. Like, in this... What do you want to call it? Like, suspenseful, sort of thriller-esque, cataclysmic, like... Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of that could have been cut out and they could have done what you said, which was kind of like explore this world and like how society is structured now and the culture is structured, like all these different people living together. Like that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
And but because I just don't enjoy those scenes of like, what do you want to call it? Like
the disaster action, porn. The exact, the action sequences, the...
Because there's just so much of it that it was nonstop.
So much time in that fucking building.
I didn't know why they were in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were climbing up the building.
Why are they climbing up the building?
Why did that woman shoot the thing?
Why did that woman shoot that fucking thing?
And then they roll up immediately. Like,
oh, we have another one.
Oh, we've got another
one. We can solve your problem that you're obviously having. We have another one of those things.
Ugh.
Yeah, she created that problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so many scenes didn't make the final cut, which made the story a bit confusing at times.
Whoa, really?
For example,
I find that hard to believe.
The original novel mentioned there's a growing distrust towards the United Earth government among people as a conspiracy theory spreads, stating that the sun is not going to die anytime soon and the whole Wandering Earth project is just a cover for elites to have total control of the population. This does fit in with this dude's fucking deals, man.
Mm-hmm.
This explains why those rescue teams carry weapons. It also explains why Li Yi, the nerd, was very aggressive, swinging a wrench, when our main protagonist entered his truck as the truck was probably sacked by rebel forces. Also, in the final scenes, we can see protesters walking on streets of underground Beijing. This also explains why the firing rock is not stored near the earth engines, as earth engines are fusion cores, and to start a fusion reaction, it takes a lot of energy. It can be assumed that the firing rock is similar to a nuclear bomb and can't be lost to rebel hands.
Yeah, I missed any of that subplot.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
What's the name of the novel that this is based on? I thought it was based Wandering on Earth. Is it?
Yeah.
But I couldn't find that story.
I was pretty sure that wasn't.
I couldn't find it on Audible. That's really the farthest I looked.
This fucking guy, man. Every fucking time with this guy. Let's see. One of the Hugo for three body problem.
So does the entirety of Jupiter blow up, or just like a part of the atmosphere? Because if it isn't
part of the
atmosphere.
It's just a part of the atmosphere.
How does that manage?
Well, because it still needed, because it doesn't have any oxygen, so they use the oxygen from Earth
that's mixing with it,
with the hydrogen.
With the hydrogen. The hydrogen is the combustant. The oxygen's the catalyst. You can't have a flame without.
Why did when he threw the moonshine? Why did that blow up? Is that something to do with the atmosphere inside of a space station, or?
I think space station atmospheres are more oxygen pure.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
And then that thing was sparking for some reason, and I don't know why.
Oh, he had kicked, or he had beat the shit out of the original one.
Mm.
So it was broken. So whatever it had been hanging on, like the wires were sparking. Mm. Okay,
that would make sense.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that really frustrates me in some of these movies where they treat oxygen as an accelerant, and it's not. You can have a pure oxygen environment without, in a pure oxygen environment, oxygen will not blow up. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
If you light a match in a pure oxygen environment, the whole match is just going to go whoosh and be gone.
Yeah, it'll just burn faster.
It'll just burn faster, but it won't make the air whole isn't gonna room catch explode.
Yeah.
They treated that the right way in this story. It used the oxygen as the catalyst instead of as an accelerant, which is appropriate. And that's the way that they even explained it really well with, yeah, the oxygen leaching into the atmosphere, now it has something to burn. Like,
right.
Because a pure hydrogen planet should be just on fire. But if there's no oxygen, it's not.
Oh, man. Look, the three-body problem is supposed to have a cinematic adaptation that's been indefinitely suspended. Man, that sucks. That book is really fucking good. The Wandering Earth is a short story.
Okay.
That's why you can't find it directly.
I will need to do a little bit of searching to see if I can find a collection that it's in.
Yeah.
Seashen.
I don't know. I feel like if you're really into sci-fi movies, this is definitely one you should catch.
Yeah.
I did enjoy watching it.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 weeks, it was the highest grossing film in the Chinese box office.
I can see that. I mean,
I feel like the acting is really solid in it. My biggest thing is I just couldn't follow.
It feels like a big budget American movie.
Yeah.
It does. I was just going to say, it feels like an Avengers movie in terms of the scope and special effects. And I mean, it doesn't have the weight of multiple appearances of these characters behind it.
Yeah.
But just the scope of having that big blockbuster feel to it, mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
And if you're in China and you don't get to see big movies like The Avengers with a full Chinese cast, I can definitely see why this is top of the box office. And
that was another good piece of the trivia. Let me find.
I think I'm gonna watch it again, but I definitely want to watch it subbed. The dub, the voices just bugged me.
The order in which the various international crews turned around to help push in the firing pin is the same order in which the various nations arrived to help China in the 2008 Sichuan earthquake.
Really?
Wow.
That's cool. That's clever. That's a clever way to do that. Yeah.
How did that shockwave not destroy the Earth?
That was one of the problems that I... Like, as soon as they're like, oh, we're going to blow it up, and I was like, that's not going to work.
How did that shockwave not destroy
all the
those people, those three kids driving that truck?
They explained that.
Did they?
They were under the thruster. That's not... No.
Everything else around them got crushed.
Everything.
How would their tiny human bodies...
Why, when they are driving that truck, and they are trying... for speed, does he not detach the back of the truck? He's already done it. It's a single button. It's like right next to the gear shift too. Like, he could have accidentally hit it.
Yeah.
And depending on the thrust of those rockets, I would question if anyone survived on that half of the planet as they left Earth's orbit. Also, I'd love to see the calculations they worked out so that the moon, they didn't bring the moon with them or didn't run into it on the way.
Didn't run into it.
They just fucking left the moon. They just left the moon, you guys. How fucking cruel.
Listen.
You spent...
Did you just realize that?
You spent how many millions of years with your one celestial partner in this universe, and you just fucking take off.
Listen, we're moving to a different solar... We pick up as many celestial partners as we want. The moon is a harsh mistress.
The moon is the first wife.
The moon is the first wife. The moon is a harsh mistress.
The Earth is just going to...
Excellent book you should read.
The Earth is just going to sow its seeds.
Yeah. The Earth is like, it's been great. I gotta go.
Enjoy that sun when it comes to get you.
Listen, it's not me. It's the sun. Yeah. I gotta go. I feel hurt now. I just realized they left the fucking moon behind. What if they hadn't and it was just like trailing behind them?
17 years, they only got to Jupiter. That's I realize the math is probably fine, but that's just a depressing show of progress.
Yeah.
What I don't understand...
They have 100 years.
Is why they went in the path of the planetary...
Well, they said they were using Jupiter... For gravity.
That's true.
Or slingshot.
I was like, why wouldn't you just fucking avoid that shit? But apparently they needed that.
No, that's accurate.
Slow motion 17-year collision. Oh! Oh, no!
Oh, no!
See, that's if only
we had time to turn!
That's the best part about this, is they probably know, like, 3 or 4 years out. It's like, hey, guys!
We're cutting it a little close.
We got a problem.
Yeah.
You know what? You can go ahead and finish this entire series of, you know, MASH that you just started episode one on. We can talk about it in a month when it's done, because we've got plenty of time. But then we really need
to
talk.
But also, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Okay, so like the speed you're going to get from the slingshot, right? It's not going to be insignificant.
Right.
But... you build yourself just a slighter margin of error, and like you've shaved, what, 2-3 years off of your 2,500-year trip?
Yeah, you know what? It's not like your great 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 grandkids, probably adding about 3 times more grades,
yeah,
are gonna care if they get there even 30 years later.
Yeah, even
because it probably would be a significant amount of time, the acceleration you gain from that. But still.
Well, yeah, when the consequences crash into fucking Jupiter.
Also, with the rate of solar expansion, if it's pumping out any particles through that, why don't they just build a big fucking solar sail?
I mean, they have to do something. Because here's the rate at which they are mining the shit out of the mountains and stuff as they're passing it. 2,500 years, there's not going to be much Earth left.
Right.
Well, no, they still need the fuel. Because even in the deceleration stage, they're going to need. But yeah.
Are they just using that as reaction mass in the fusion reactors? Is that all that is?
Well, it was fusion reactors, so yeah, probably.
That means that's geek shit.
It's fucking
nerd. It is.
Fucking shit. Fucking Epstein drive up in here. The Rosinante. That's what I got.
I can see my high school physics teacher using this movie as like physics problems in class.
Guy sounds like a dick.
He handed out Rendezvous with Rama.
What the to fuck us. That is?
It's a Arthur soft C. Clarke porn. Arthur C. Clarke novel. There is some actual softcore porn in part of it. Like. Spends like three paragraphs at the beginning of a chapter talking about women's breasts in zero G.
I mean, Arthur C. Clarke was a terrible author. His shit is so fucking boring.
I like Arthur C. Clarke.
Ugh.
It is very stilted writing. It's really stilted. I like the concepts of his stories better than the actual story. Like the ideas are good. The ideas are fantastic. The
execution is poor.
The dude is the guy who came up with the idea of the space elevator. So
that's fine. I don't have a space elevator.
He also was literally a rocket scientist.
Don't give a shit. Wish he wrote an entertaining story.
2001 was good.
I can't.
So it's 2010.
Get the fuck out.
2061 and 3001.
Oh, this guy just kept going back to the same fucking well.
Well.
Numbers.
Ugh. I don't think I have anything else to really say about either. This.
It was a good movie. It was good. It for sure.
I had a hard time judging the acting because of the dubbing.
Yeah, that would be really hard. Nailed it.
This fucking guy.
I would say watching the sub, the acting seemed perfectly fine to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. The next time I watch it, I'll watch it with sub.
Yeah, I watched, like I said, like 5 seconds with the dub because I did not feel like sitting there and watching a movie, but I couldn't do it.
So I understand.
Both.
Huh?
I watched it with both. The subtitles and dub. You've never watched a show with the subtitles on? Like in English?
But you were listening to a bad dub and reading.
Yeah, I like to see what the differences are.
I thought about so that. I honestly thought about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like culturally, I like to see what the differences are. Like,
no, I appreciate that, but.
Doesn't sound like you do.
But it's just that the dub was really bad in this.
Conversation's so fast becoming been... a confrontation.
It would have been really difficult for me seeing as the audio and the subtitles are different, and also contending with the fact that the dub is really bad. So it's like, I don't know. I have a hard enough time paying attention, and that would have been too much. It would have been it for me.
Can we talk about the real hero of this story? The Russian guy on the space station?
Markov?
I did like the Russian guy.
That guy was fantastic. Smuggled in booze. Guy's like, oh, we gotta get to the command module. Fuck it, let's go. Okay.
Knows he's gonna die.
Knows he's gonna die.
Pushes him.
Throws his ass. Dwarf tossing.
See you later, space cowboy.
Solid.
Moss, you're killing people!
Like, he gets in the fucking room and he's like, oh, yeah, everything I'm doing is legal. Here's all the documents that are signed.
Yeah, this is funny. Oh my god, I'm so glad you brought that up. That was so weird. This fucking computer is like... Like, I have the paperwork, officer. Like, why would a computer feel like it has to explain itself to a fucking employee who's supposed to be hibernating? Like,
he did keep trying to knock his ass out, too.
Every time we go back to the space station, the computer's like, hey, why aren't you hibernating?
Please, please just get back in your pod.
Every single time, they do not let that rest for a second, that the computer wants him to go back to sleep.
I can help you into the emergency backup pod. Or you can take the Russian guy's pod. Oh. Oh, I shot him into space. This is awkward.
They don't explain what the other explosion is. Remember when they're like climbing on the thing?
Yeah, and it's just exploded.
And they're like, somebody else must have figured it out too.
Oh yeah.
Did they? No one else seems to have woken up.
And it never gets brought up again. Did I just miss something? Or because like, I kind of felt like, I know they needed emotional tension in the movie, but I felt like that storyline was, or at least the kid's personality was a little contrived. Like, you killed my mother. How would he not have understood? Like, he grew up in this incredibly, like, sparse, like, tense atmosphere. You know, he would have grown up, like, knowing to do without and yearning, etc., etc. And for him to hold a grudge for this completely terrible choice that his father had to make to ensure that he had somebody looking out for him, like...
That was one thing that didn't sit well with me, was how bitter that kid was about that, but how fucking awesome grandpa was for adopting that girl. Mm-hmm. Like, it just seemed like he would have been raised by that guy.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense why he was still so bitter. Like, you would have thought that grandpa would have kind of softened that edge. They would have
worked through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, dad left me. Now, dad's literally saving your life right now. Also, we can just call him.
You can talk to him all the fucking time.
We can talk to him literally anytime.
Yeah.
Also, your mother was, like, terminally ill.
Right.
Do you even remember
any time you... And he wouldn't have.
He wouldn't have. Yeah.
In a... She was extremely ill in a time in the world where it just wasn't sustainable to be able to save her. Like, I'm sorry. That, like, sucks so bad, but... Right.
Billions of people died.
Yeah. We couldn't take her sick ass down into the city with us because it just wouldn't have made sense. Sick ass.
Because he was what, 4?
He was 4. Yeah, he wouldn't have remembered her. Yeah, for him to be that bitter for that long, he's 21 years old.
Get over it. Sort yourself out.
17 years.
I thought they said it was 14 years.
I thought it was 17.
It was 17.
17 makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, he was 17.
Because at one point they said 14, but I didn't think that made any sense because, for one, he seemed a lot older than 18, and she seemed a lot older than 14 or 15.
Right. Yeah, it was 17, right?
That makes a lot more sense.
So yeah, I think he was 21.
He also had this fucking obsession with those, like, bubble capsules.
I was down with that.
I was down with that, too. Didn't remember my Capsule Corp.
They didn't need the bitterness to get the emotional tension. His father's already out on the space station. He doesn't get to see him. So the entire emotional tension could have been, this is the day my dad's supposed to come home, and, like, I'm so fucking pumped and excited for this, and it keeps getting, like, I'm slowly realizing and in denial of the fact that I'm not going to see my father again, because, like, the Earth is either going to die or he's going to die up there. And in that final moment where he's, like, freaking out, he's, like, telling everybody to stop the thrusters because he doesn't want his dad to die, that's him, like, in his final stages of denial of, I'm not going to see my father.
Yeah. It might also be a cultural thing, too.
What?
Like, that fatherly resentment. Like, his father chose duty over
family. I feel like that's the opposite, though. Like, I feel like in Chinese culture, that might be the more, like, not acceptable is not the word, but, like...
Traditional?
Yeah. Like, this country over personal, like... You know, this greater good sort of thing. Obviously, I'm not Chinese, but that's just the impression that I get.
Mm. You're the Bostones.
They didn't do enough with Duo's storyline.
They did nothing with it.
Like, they set it up. Mm. Like, she's not actually, like, our child, but I adopted her because I found her as a baby in the ocean. They could have done something with that.
Yep.
They did nothing with her as a character just...
At all.
In general, yeah, like, they could have replaced her with any of those soldiers, and the story would have been no different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because she's the little sister, and, like, she's a driving force behind him,
going to the surface pushing, initially.
Like, pushing forward through everything. I have to, like, I promise my grandfather I would look out for her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really, like... enough.
It's not.
Seeing as they establish her, like, she's one of the first characters you meet, and they establish her as this kind of nihilistic, like...
I don't understand hope. Ugh.
But also kind of whiny. Oh my
god, you're a fucking teenager.
Yeah.
Like...
But also, but, like, she starts off with a personality, like...
She does.
Yeah, she's like, they're talking about hope. I want to go to the surface. I want to eat some fucking food. Like,
yeah, it got frozen when she went to the surface.
Yeah.
Her personality did.
Yeah, it completely disappears, which sucks. And yeah. then they show the scene, you know, the grandfather's dying, and then his, like, final thoughts are thinking of, like, this child that he adopted. And then I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Because, like, we saw the son, and I was like, where was the daughter at?
That's what I'm trying to figure out the whole time.
Yeah, it was like, because mom looks like she's been terminal for a while, so it's not like a dying in childbirth thing,
right?
Which would have been an interesting twist, but that's not it. Yeah. No, I really dug that whole story, though. Like that little sequence had so much more personality than anything she had.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because the grandpa wasn't it.
Yeah.
He was a cool character.
He was kind of the Uncle Iroh of the...
He was kind of the Uncle Iroh.
Why does everybody get mad and split up in the middle?
Got me.
Right around the time that chick shoots that fucking thing?
It was right before that.
Because it needed to happen for the story?
The grandfather dies. They get to a surface of some kind. And then everybody's throwing a fucking fit. And I didn't understand what was happening. And then they split up.
Yeah. I did like the one action sequence where the dude was trapped between the two plates and the one guy's trying to pull him out. And he's just like, oh, fuck it. And he jumps. Yeah. And it was like, that was cool.
That was really cool.
I really liked that moment. Like that, how the way that whole sequence played out.
Yeah, because it's like a panicked moment. Like, yeah. And it's like, I have to do something.
And I'm just going to do this. And then he's like, get me out of here.
Yeah, that was a leap of faith, literally.
Literally, yeah.
Because you have to have faith that that guy's going to come out and also be able to get his own, like, grip to save both of you. Or else it's just, okay, we're both gone.
Oh, shit. I thought I was saving you, but I've just doomed us both.
They had a lot of good characters, but they had too many characters. Like, I feel like they should have spent... If they had cut the characters in half and just spent more time on...
So the thing is, the more I think about this, is this movie, the way the movie was presented, the way the story was told, it feels like an Arthur Clarke novel. Like, it's got these really high concepts, but the characters are just, they're placeholders to get us through explaining these concepts so that we can have this thing happen that he's trying to prove out as a concept. But we need to put humans into the story to give you something, to give you a through line to follow.
Mm-hmm.
His later novels, when he was working with other people, there was a lot more character to them because the other people cared more about the character than the event or the high concept that they're trying to get across. But this felt that disjointed because that is the one, that's a trait of an Arthur Clarke novel, is that they jump around, sometimes months between chapters, just to get from point to point, because we got to keep the story moving.
Why in the world would that dude jeopardize this mission for his kid?
You know, if that Russian guy was in that control room, you know he would have shot that dude in the fucking head.
You do not. You do not.
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, shit. Oh, this was all planned? All right.
Yeah.
Throwing your ass out the airlock.
Like, this is a contingency plan?
Oh, this is the thing I signed up for.
Yeah.
This is the thing we signed up for. Oh, okay, all right.
No, you gotta get the fuck out of here, man. See, I'm sorry about your kid. Also, I have kids back on that planet.
Yeah. In my short story that was written like this, the AI was in charge and would just kill them all and rebooted.
Be done with it. Because also, that there's shit on that space station that's no longer on that planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like a ton of shit, judging by what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, judging by what they listed.
I'm sure they also have those genetic samples on Earth, too.
You think so?
They're just frozen.
Yeah, I mean, like, why would you collect all of them and then only put them on the space station?
Just fuck it. Because you're just going to crash Earth into Jupiter anyway.
It was always part of the plan.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? The Earth is just baggage.
Joke's on them. They forgot Jupiter was even in the fucking solar system, and then they mapped the course out after they started, and they're like, oh shit, we're gonna get real close to... You know what?
They're like...
Slingshot!
They're like, wait, what's that? What's that coming up?
Star Trek 4, Slingshot!
This is part of the plan, the Slingshot plan.
We're gonna go back in time and get the whales!
I don't know what you're talking about now, but...
Star Trek 4, they use a slingshot maneuver around the moon to go back in time to get humpback whales, which are extinct in the future, because an odd cylinder thing has shown up and is blowing shit up and is making a humpback whale noise. And then the humpback whales sing to the thing and it goes away.
That sounds like my favorite movie.
It's pretty goddamn good.
Now I need to see it.
They go back.
It's not Wrath of Khan good.
It's not Wrath of Khan good, but they go back in an old Klingon bird of prey. It's a fucking... It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I am so sad that they left the moon behind. Just left
I'm sorry.
It, babe.
I'm sorry that I did that to you, Kayla.
It hurts me.
They like,
I feel,
have left
I feel like it's my fault for breaking that illusion.
Yeah, I didn't even...
I guess it could be left behind, though.
What would happen?
So what's going to happen?
Because, like, it's kept in our orbit not only by our gravitational pull, but, like, also our ecliptic orbit of the sun.
I don't know that it was necessarily left behind. It would have gotten pulled with us for a while.
It would have, but, like...
Oh, it would have been dragging us down.
It would have. Literally, yeah.
But we...
Maybe they shot it.
We would have changed our velocity, though. Like
by losing it, by losing it, we would have changed our velocity.
Well, the balance of the... So we have a circular, like a revolutionary... No, a rotational, a revolutionary velocity around the sun.
But the... My problem is the moon goes around the Earth.
It does.
On the same plane that the Earth goes around the sun.
It does.
And we are leaving on that same plane instead of going out of the plane.
Yes.
So, therefore, we would have had to time it
so that we didn't, hit the moon.
Hit the moon. And that's what I was talking about. And that doesn't, that math doesn't work.
In a way that it's, like, round, like rounding this way, and, like, you have to snap it to, like, snap that.
But I'm saying, like, we don't have to get moving very quickly before we break the delicate balance of gravity keeping it in our orbit. So, as soon as we move in a direction that's not our normal direction... It's going to slingshot itself away.
It will.
But don't you think they would have, in order to do this
it probably
at
just
all,
smacked
they would have
Venus.
Had to wait to the point in our revolution where we're slingshotting from the sun? So that's like the opposite of what you're saying. Because we would still be like going that in like in that vector.
Yeah.
But like we have to wait for the moon to also be going back.
But here's the thing. We're talking about this like the moon is anywhere near us, and it's nowhere fucking near us. It's really far a fucking way.
It's near us.
Some of us are sailing that moon.
Right here.
That's not where your heart is.
This is the physics problem we would have worked out in that class.
This is the two-body problem.
I don't know what the three-body problem is yet, because I haven't listened to the book.
The moon and the Earth.
That's the two-body problem.
All right, well then. But it's not just a two-body problem.
It is a two-body problem.
Because the sun's also involved in all these equations.
Yeah, but it's also a constant in the two masses.
I mean, if you just wait for it to be directly... Well, I guess it really isn't close enough.
It's not... There's nowhere near us. Like, the odds that we're going to hit the moon are really fucking low.
Not really hitting it that's my problem. It's just the gravitational pull. Like, how... Like
the forces that the moon would put on the planet. Because they're...
I mean,
you're
going to
pass by
strong.
Much closer than you than it's ever been.
Yes.
That will happen
potentially.
At some point.
I'm saying once we start moving, that its orbit is going to work against us. It's going to fly itself off in another direction.
What happened to the moon, man? Somebody get this dude on the phone.
See, Shen.
Where's the moon?
What happened to
what
the
happens
fucking moon?
To the fucking moon? Maybe it's in the story. I'll read the story.
I bet it is.
I bet it is, dude.
It's probably hanging
really
out by
thorough.
Venus.
I fucking hate you. Jesus. It crashed into Jupiter first.
We fucking shot the moon into another goddamn planet.
No, not into. It's in orbit around another planet now.
Yeah, what is the likelihood that
Saturn.
It just gracefully...
It's in Saturn's
playing
orbit
playing pool with planets.
Planet pool.
It's hanging out with Interplanet Janet.
I don't know who that is.
She's a galaxy girl.
We just
seems
abandoned.
Really insensitive. Oh my god, we're on Endor.
It's always stood by us.
Has it though?
Yeah.
Has it though?
Yeah.
I mean, how are of us. How are ladies going to have their time now without the moon?
Why isn't that explored in
science
movies like this?
Why is there no science about this?
That could have been the sister's role in the movie.
That's why she was the way she was.
Oh yeah, she has absolutely no personality because there's no moon there.
There's
to
no
regulate
connection
it.
To the yeah. moon.
She's lost the link.
Yeah.
She could run for president.
She's not. Brought down by moon blood.
Does it have the moon sickness?
That's what I'm going to call it from now on.
The moon sickness.
I'm so fucking moon sick right now.
Don't Tony, I have to pee so bad.
All right.
Go.
This is traditionally where we've ended things in the past.
Well, that's because you were drinking.
Oh, I miss it.
I don't have anything else. We could just end this, right?
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Watch it.
All right. Next week, we're going to talk about Logan's Run. All right. See ya.